All right, Heidi Miller, compulsive overeater, and this is my home group. I live in Southern Colorado, and so Zoom is we have one in-person AA meeting that's like walking distance from my house. Otherwise, I have to get in my car. I get to get in my car and drive to Pueblo, which is 20, 30 miles. And I'm lucky that in Pueblo there's all kinds of AA meet. There's AA meetings, OA meetings, ACA meetings, whatever I need. Because my story is I came in through AA. So I had 18 years of sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous through in the pandemic. And during the pandemic, it was like Groundhog Day. It was November and of 2020, I think. And it was Groundhog Day. And I was working from home. The kitchen was my best friend. The kitchen's always been my best friend. My first job was as a waitress. And then I went from there and worked in bars and restaurants for 15 years before I got sober in AA. I come from a long line of, I would call addicts, alcoholics, food, bulimics, anorexics. Probably we have a gambling addict in there. So it's like my family tree on both sides has the addiction gene, which I think it's a gene, and or it's a disease. I don't know whether it's a gene, but that was important for me early on to understand that I wasn't just a mistake or a mess up. And it talked about it in the daily reading. Like I searched for forever. For a solution, for an answer, for a reason why I felt this pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And when I came into the rooms and I was told I have a disease and there's a solution, then that put it in its proper perspective. The family that I come from, very, my parents divorced when I was really young, and it became this time with Dad, we'd go to the Greasy Spoon. I kind of felt like he resented food, like he didn't want to cook for me and my sister. I remember him making French toast, and he would turn up the stove as high as possible, and then he would buy this whole wheat, like the most organic-y, wheatish stuff. This was in the 70s, so it was like eating gravel bread, and he would soak it in eggs for, way too long, and then he would cook it and he would ksh, very quickly like burn it on one side, flip it over, burn it on the other. So food was like my disease was telling me that food was the solution. If I could sit and have a greasy cheeseburger and a malt with my dad, then we could get to this happily ever after. That's what my disease was telling me. Put stuff in your hole and you'll get to the happily ever after at a very young age. And then my mom, kind of the same thing. She was a perpetual dieter and weight losser, desiring to lose weight. She was, her family, when she was growing up, she was called Pudgy and she had her own stuff. So I watched her be a serial dieter. And in my teens, I remember she did that Oprah Optifast, so we would sit around the kitchen table and have dinner. On the rare occasion that we sat around the table, we'd have, macaroni and cheese and hot dogs, and mom would have her pink drink. So she was always in pursuit of, fitting in her Gloria Vanderbilts, and she never got there. And she ultimately died an addiction-related death from lung cancer from smoking cigarettes. So I didn't have a lot of role models. The role models I had were kind of in their disease. I had one uncle who was in recovery, and I watched him, and he had recovery, but he didn't have his stuff together in other areas of his life. So the main thing that appealed appealed to me about this meeting, I don't know how I ended up here, was the attitude adjustment. That's because that's what I need. The attitude I was practicing self-will run riot for so long in the food, wasn't a healthy attitude, and it kept me sick. And so that November of 2020, I my sobriety, and I know you've heard this before, my sobriety anniversary came and went. I didn't have a home group. My phone didn't ring. Nobody said, "Hey, good job, you have 18 years sober." 2 days later, I realized on the calendar, like, "Oh, hey, I had 18 years of continuous sobriety, and my life was a mess. It was the pandemic. I was in a relationship that was very toxic. I was way too focused on that. I had these kids. I figured if I just cater to their every whim, they'd be happy, and we'd get to that happily ever after." And so I did what they told me to do when I first went to AA 18 years earlier. I went back to doing all the things: writing, asking for help, being of service, going to meetings, having a home group. Just keep coming back, keep coming back. And that's what I've done. And so I'm coming up on 4 years. I'll have 4 years with you all next month by the grace of God. And I'm abstinent. The food doesn't run me. The kitchen isn't my best friend. You sent me this, Rob sent me this pamphlet, which is why I always hawk it. It's available free online at OA. One of the first things in here is there's questions to identify. Page 1 and 2 has 15 questions. I circled all of them. I didn't circle all of them. I circled 13 out of 15. And then the other two, I had exclamation marks because those were like super true. So I qualified on all these aspects. If you haven't looked at these, do I eat when I'm not hungry? Yeah. I ate all the time. I was never hungry. I was never full. It was constant. Or not eat when my body needs nourishment. I don't think I ate anything nourishing until I got into here, because chocolate covered peanuts were my friend, And that's a protein, right? Do I go on eating binges for no apparent reason? Yeah, I spent so much time, especially in my marriage. It was like he was busy, I was busy, we got kids, there's school, there's this, there's that. And I was constantly in, if I knew we had Saturday, we were going to go see grandpa, I was constantly in the Google, like, where can I go eat? Where's the closest buffet? And I would just, oh my God, I would spend all this time looking at menus and picking out what I was going to eat. And food was my master. There's a couple in here. I identify with all of them. But there's a couple in here. When my emotions are intense, do I find myself reaching for food? Yeah, because I don't want to feel. This one's funny. Have I ever used laxatives, vomiting, diuretics, or excessive exercise, diet pills, shots, other medical interventions? I know I've told you this before too. I did I did a colonic, but that was for wellness. But I did the what do they want you to have all the time when you get older? I'm 55. Oh, they want you to have a colonoscopy, right? Oh no, I don't think so. Just for good measure, like really? Okay, no. But I'll do the prep. Give me the big gallon thing. I'll do that and drink it and then crap my pants because I want to lose the weight. I'll lose, even if I lose 2 or 3 pounds, that's like woohoo. So I did that. Those are unmanageability. I'm powerless and my life is unmanageable. I can give you all these unmanageabilities. And it's still unmanageable today. I'm not in the food and it's not centered on the food or the number on the scale. It's people, places, and things. And I get to use this program just like I use it with my disease to get abstinent and by the grace of God, stay abstinent one day at a time. I can apply all this to people, places, and things. And when I do that, I'm taking out insurance, it talks about it in the big book, against a relapse and dying. And I do. I have family. I don't even know if I could talk about this. I have a I don't know what he is. Stepbrother ate himself to death. Andre ate himself to death, literally ate himself to death. And I was like the big older stepsister, and he was the young, cute little chubby boy, and he ate himself to death. And there was nothing I could do except for be there for his mom as she watched her son kill himself with food. And that's what happened. And then I went to the memorial for Andre, and there's a hole there. You know, there's a hole in her life, there's a hole in my life, and that could be me, you know, if I don't. It talks in here right after those questions, it says, "You are not alone." As we practice these new and healthy behaviors, we begin to feel safe. And I know now, looking back, I never felt safe. My parents divorced when I was so young. It was their actions, and I took that on, like, if they loved me, surely they would have figured out how to stay married. And so I kind of acted as if I was a mistake. So what does it matter if I am reckless and irresponsible and, you know, self will run riot, right? Because it doesn't matter. But I learn here to love myself, you know? And we found a home in the fellowship and support that OA offers. We discovered that we can recover by following OA's 12 steps and by reaching out for help. And so you guys, you know, you'd say, welcome home. And that's how I feel. And because I'm here with you, and I haven't even gotten to the tools yet, right? You set me on a solid footing. And then if I can stay abstinent, keep my focus on the tools. There's so many tools to pick up. I go to a meeting, phone list, steps, writing, literature. I'm getting into the God stuff now. There's people on this meeting who talk about writing God letters. For so long, I hear things and I'm like, I don't even know what that means. But if I keep coming back, my understanding grows and deepens. And when I need a tool, I hear from somebody in the meeting and it points me, it nudges me in that direction. So I've been hearing about God letters, and now I'm actually doing my adding in my practice. Like, I'm not writing God letters yet, but I'm on YouTube listening, like God's reading a letter to me. He's like, "Dear little girl, you're my precious daughter." And I'm like, "What?" And as I listen to that, you know, it heals me, and it makes me, because I'm not in the food, I can show up for myself, I can show up for you, I can show up for people in my life, and be of service and be grateful. And then the number on the scale takes care of itself. And it's simple, not easy, right? So I'm in some stuff at work. People do not know how to behave. They need to come to this meeting. I'm not their higher power. They're not here. Bless them, change me. And the food, you know, like you've heard this from me before. First, it was the breakfast cart. 3 years ago, the breakfast cart would go by and be like, "Oh, thank you, God, I got a free bean burrito." And now I'm like, I call BS on my disease, right? But I still walk through these, like the office, or there's Christmas snacks people bring. "Oh, I was baking because of snow days and I didn't have anybody to eat this, so I brought it." So the number on the scale is higher than, and then I go like, "Oh, I don't have, I'm too busy to weigh myself," right? So I haven't weighed myself for a while. There's a member on this meeting that talks about the scale is a measure of honesty. Again, I'm like, I don't know what the heck that means. But now I do. My understanding is growing, and I can see I'm not getting on the scale because I'm scared to be honest about how much this situation at work is really kicking my butt. and I'm scared and I feel alone and nobody's got my back and whatever. And I give myself permission to have those feelings for a little bit of time and learn from them maybe, and then detach and keep going and be grateful. And when I'm grateful, I go, okay, I'm not sure why all this is happening. It's making me stronger. And maybe it's because God's going to close this door on this job and open another door. And that's what he did before Christmas. I'm talking to somebody, random person in my life. Oh, yeah, we're hiring this, blah, blah, blah. Exactly my job. I'm like, are you kidding? She goes, yeah, well, it closes tomorrow. You should apply. I'm like, so I apply. I get the interview. We get on the interview. Like, they're like, would you quit your job today if we offered you? That was like their first interview question. I'm like, who does that? Don't you go through the interview and then make a job offer? But whatever. And they threw me for a loop. I was kind of like, yeah, I don't really know if I would quit. I'm caught up. I'm certainly, because of this program and living one day at a time and doing the next right thing, I can stay caught up. I can stay current. And then if God moves me off to a different thing, I'm available. But I didn't really want to do that, you know? And I think they sensed that in the interview. And so we just agreed to talk in 6 months. And it's fine because God's got it all, right? God's got my food. God's got my money, my higher power. I'll just leave it a little bit more generic. My higher power is in charge of it all, the money, the food, the job. And when I let my higher power do all that, I can do this with you and show up and pray for those fires or pray for people who are at burying their children, you know what I mean? Like life on life's terms. And the celebrations too. I can celebrate the the OA birthday party and the victories that you bring. So it's not just it's trudging the road of happy destiny. It's trudging and it's happy. I sometimes forget about the celebrations, you know. So, yeah, this is what I get for coming on early. I get asked to speak, but you guys know I love that Jumbotron. And I'm a model today for my children, in a way that, so they're 17, 16, 16 and a half, and 14. And the way, you know, they were just laughing in the car yesterday. They said, remember when we used to go to I think it was an Al-Anon meeting when they were really little. I'd throw them in the car on Mondays, and my older daughter said, remember when we used to go to that meeting that was way far away, and we would go through the drive-through and we would get like four parfaits each, you know. I felt overwhelmed when I had these kids, two girls, 2 years apart, you know, working full time, blah blah. So I was always like giving away my food power because I was in the disease. So I brought them with me, I think, in hindsight. And so they grew up on a lot of sugary crap. And because I'm here with you today, I can be better for myself. I can be better for them. And we're gonna go this afternoon. She's got a tournament. This stuff is nuts out here. The way these kids these days, they're running around and they're doing this and they're doing that. I used to have a student, Bernardo. He passed away in the summer, right after he graduated from high school. I can be of service to his mom because we're like family. I'm kind of losing my train of thought. Oh, his mom used to bring him lunch every day. And I was like, wow, that's kind of extra. You know, she'd go to the drive-thru and bring him food from different restaurants every day, deliver it to the high school for him for lunch. And that's a lot of what these parents do now these days. Everybody's so busy. And I don't have to do that. I can be present. I can make healthy stuff. We're eating better than we ever have. And it's all your fault because you guys are doing the same thing. And we have this attitude adjustment. And I'm so grateful. And all these squares, you guys, there's so many people on this meeting that come and have good recovery and are committed to this, there's no reason if you're new. I don't see anybody new. Maybe the iPhone. No, I think that's Sherry. You guys are welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home. I'll pass. Thanks for listening.